tried to take smoke in that direction. I enjoyed no more success than I ever had, which meant I managed to cross half the distance from Overlook to the slide before smoke refused to go any farther. Someday, the Black Company would go up that road. No one else ever went, but we would go. That was the road to Katavar. That was the road that would lead us to our origins. From Kialune, I rode smoke north in a sweeping search for Soulcatcher, Lady's mad, wicked sister. I found no obvious sign immediately, but she was skilled at not being seen. I closed in on the old man himself, began using smoke's ability to move through time as well as space to backtrack the crows that follow the army and hang around him. I fooled the coward for just a moment, for long enough to carry myself into view of Lady's nemesis. She was out in the wastes, all alone except for her pets. She was eating, something I had never seen or heard of Soulcatcher doing. She was gorgeous. Gorgeous like only evil can be. For an instant I felt that same twinge I'd experienced the first time I saw Sara. Thought of Sara startled me. Out here was my time free of that pain. The instant I lost my focus, Smoke's cowardly soul seemed to sense how near Soulcatcher it was. It pushed away as though repelled. I didn't resist. I needed to be away from there, too. Soulcatcher was a madwoman, bold beyond reason, likely to do almost anything if it amused her. She must be having great fun lately. If Smoke's visions could be trusted, she was less than a mile away right now, here in the middle of the army, undetected, so close she could strike anyone, anywhere, instantly, whenever the urge came upon her. And such urges did. The old man needed to know. Or did he? He might, reasoning that crows had a limited endurance. I went away from there and took Smoke back to the palace in Taglios. He seemed comfortable with that. We went to the room where he'd been hidden so long. Dust was gathering there. The lost annals were still out of sight where I'd concealed them. In another part of the palace, the Radisha was going about the daily business of ruling an empire. She and all the powerful priests and lords and functionaries, going along with the pretense that she was just standing in momentarily for her brother, the Pabrinda Dra. As long as everybody agreed not to notice the prince's extended absence, the engines of state continued to function reasonably well. In truth, though never stated publicly, the state operated much more efficiently without the prince present to filter and soften his sister's will. I found the woman and buzzed around her like an invisible mosquito, forward and backward in time, sticking my long nose into her every conversation, excepting those she had with Cordy Mather when no one else was around. Much. I heard enough to know Mather was getting used. But it was use most men willingly endure, at least for a while. Her conversations with several senior priests were interesting, though never as explicit as I would like. The Radisha had matured in the seldom friendly environment of the palace, where 1,000 plots, great and small, were afoot every day at the best of times, and there were always ears eager to pick up anything you said. She did not plan to keep her word to the captain and company. Surprise, surprise. But she wasn't yet pursuing any vigorous course of betrayal. Like everyone else, she was certain Croker's winter campaign was either a tactic, not directed at the Shadow Master at all, or if pursued, genuinely